You're listening to the Gym Class Podcast, KGYM Sports Radio.
Gym Class for a Thursday, coming your way here at KGYM. Great to have you aboard as we take it through the 3 o'clock hour. As always, presented by DuPaco Community Credit Union. Check them out online at dupaco.com. You can find out more by, of course, going to their website. You can also find out more by visiting our website at kgymradio.com. And you can take in our program at kgymradio.com on the stream. Mobile app available as well from KGYM or your smart speaker. You can just listen in as well on the radio at 1600 AM here in Cedar Rapids, along with 102.3 FM. And in Iowa City, it is 106.3 FM. Fun-filled show for you coming up today as we are going to talk baseball. We are getting close to the trade deadline. RJ Anderson from CBS Sports going to join us as a few trades happening today, maybe some more in the offing. We shall see how it all plays out. But we are looking forward to talking baseball with RJ coming up here in just a little bit. Justin Webster from the Gazette will join us. We'll talk local racing as a familiar name around these parts. We will talk about that coming up here in just a little bit. And, of course, tonight, the NBA draft, where one Hawkeye should hear his name. Will it be two? So lots to get to on the program. State baseball going on at two venues as well. 319-366-1600. That is a text line available to you. That is our phone line as well. Again, that is 319-366-1600. We will also have your chance to win with Last Pair Standing, our giveaway of four of the grandstand shows at the Iowa State Fair in Des Moines at the State Fairgrounds. You can win a pair of tickets to, they are still all up for grabs as of the moment. Boys to Men on August the 15th, the Beach Boys on August the 17th, Styx on August the 18th, and the Doobie Brothers 50th Anniversary Tour. That will be on August the 22nd, and we will play Last Pair Standing coming up in just a little bit. As Mark joins me here, it's 7 minutes past the hour of three. Good afternoon. How are you?
Good afternoon, Scott. I'm well. I hope you are as well. And jam-packed show today, as you mentioned, and could be a lot of activity in Major League Baseball in the next 36 hours. A bit alarming in Cubs camp for some anyway that Rizzo and Bryant were not in the lineup today as the Cubs are playing Cincinnati this afternoon. Could be because it's a day game after a night game. Could be trade related. The Red Sox reportedly trying to make a move on Rizzo. So yeah, we could learn a lot or maybe not very much in the next 36 hours.
We could. We could indeed. And we'll have an Emil's Hideaway scoreboard for you coming up in just a little bit as well between our guests today as we'll get you updated on what is happening as far as state baseball is concerned. We'll update at that time. We'll give you the score right now because I know there are a lot of people that are tuned in that are curious about it. 4A going on right now, the 4A quarterfinals down in Iowa City at Duane Banks Field on the University of Iowa campus. Right now, they moved to the bottom of the fifth inning in a quarterfinal. It is West Des Moines Dowling leading Cedar Rapids Prairie 4-2 right now. Dowling with a three spot in the bottom of the fourth inning, helped by some Prairie errors, unfortunately. Cal Sullivan put Prairie on top with a two-run home run, opposite field home run at Duane Banks Field, and that put Prairie on top. But right now, it's 4-2. In favor of the Dowling Maroon as a heck of a pitching matchup. Dowling's got their young freshman out there, Mark, who's already committed to TCU, throws 91, was hitting that consistently, according to Jeff Johnson of the Gazette. And Jackson Novy, who's going to Kentucky next year on the mound for Prairie, and he's throwing high 80s. So that's pretty good. Those guys are going to see a lot of college fields over the next few years, but they're seeing one today.
No question, and Larson got a big out in the bottom of the fifth. Runners in motion, according to Jeff Johnson, 3-2 pitch, and Larson got Sullivan swinging. So it does remain 4-2 Dowling at this point.
Yeah, and like I said, we'll have an update on that coming up toward the bottom of the hour. Of course, we've got the NBA draft coming up tonight for you here on KGYM. All of our frequencies starting at 6 o'clock. I believe the first selection will be at around 7 o'clock coming up this evening. And as I mentioned, it's a pretty good bet we're going to hear one Hawkeye's name being selected, that Joe Wieskamp. The mocks, the last-minute mocks are all out there, Mark, as you and I have both noticed. Taken stock of, et cetera, et cetera. One of those mocks, CBS Sports has Joe going as the last pick in the first round.
Indeed. He would be number 30 by CBS Sports. Luka Garza not listed in the first two rounds. Poll question today at KGYMRadio.com has to do with this subject. And thanks to Hawkeye Title and Settlement in Iowa City, Steve Anderson and his crew bringing you the poll question today and every day. Will both Luka Garza and Joe Wieskamp be drafted tonight? Yes or no? Scott, Iowa hasn't had two guys taken in one draft since 1998 when Ricky Davis and Ryan Bowen went 21 and 55 respectively. Davis in the first and Bowen in the second. And Iowa has not had two first-round draft picks since 89, when B.J. Armstrong went 20th, Roy Marble 23rd, and had a third in the top 39 as Ed Horton went in the second round. So we'll see how this draft pans out for Garza, Wieskamp, and the Hawks.
Still perhaps my favorite Hawkeye of all time.
Which one?
Ed Horton.
Yeah.
Oh, Ed was fun. Back in the day. But yeah, we could see a little bit of history tonight made. And who knows? And you see so many, at least lately anyway, as far as the NBA draft is concerned, so many trades associated with the picks. You could go to one spot, one team, be traded twice, as a matter of fact. It just depends. And Garza, will he get taken? If he does, I got to think it's going to be probably somewhere in the last 10 picks. A lot depends on that, too. How many foreign players are going to be taken? You know, does a team like Luka Garza? He's done everything he needs to do and what they have told him to do, the scouts, et cetera, to get ready to be drafted. Has dropped 20-some pounds, has gotten more athletic. Still with that outside shot looking good. It just depends on the fit, I think, as far as Luka is concerned. And even if he does not get drafted, he's going to be in the summer leagues with somebody out there. We know that.
Yeah, that three-letter word fit is perfect, Scott. And I agree with everything you said. Garza has done everything he possibly can to get himself ready for this draft. He's worked out for a lot of teams, as has Wieskamp. It just takes one franchise to catch your eye. You know, oftentimes in football, maybe it's better to be a free agent. And you can select which team that may want you to come in. So we'll know better after tonight. I wonder in this draft whether how much star power there is, Scott. You're a better basketball fan than I am. Cade Cunningham, the odds-on number one pick. You know, is Mobley going to be a star? Is Jalen Suggs going to be a star? Someone we're not thinking about right now. I wonder, because there's no LeBron James or Kobe Bryant, at least that we know of.
At least that we know of. Yeah, you're right. And Detroit has already made it known Cade Cunningham is going to be the number one pick. And I think he should be. I love Cade Cunningham coming out of Oklahoma State. He is a team-first player. Instead of a me-first player, I like that. I think he's a great building block for Detroit to try to get back into relevancy, if you will. I was getting with Todd in the sports office before we got on the air here. It made me think last night, thinking of Cade Cunningham, that I can't wait for the possible, you know, Big Ten Heroes 60-minute documentaries on both the great Thurman Thomas of Oklahoma State and perhaps Cade Cunningham. If Oklahoma State goes into the Big Ten, it's a tongue-in-cheek thing, but at any rate, you got those when Nebraska came in, Rutgers, Maryland, et cetera, et cetera, and you're going to see those if the Big Ten expands again, with absolutely nothing to do as far as Big Ten play with Cade Cunningham, but at any rate. 319-366-1600 as we come your way here on the Thursday edition of the Gym Class on KGYM. 0835, Luca reminds me of Dirk, or among others. I think Joe would be a great fit for the Spurs. We'll see.
Dirk Nowitzki, Djokovic, I think, is the other one that 0835, or Jokic, I'm sorry, pointed to. Yeah, I mean, Nowitzki could make that outside shot, could post up when he needed to. He's a more of a perimeter player, as I recall, but a wonderful one at that.
All depends. It all depends on how it plays out. Heard an Olympic update at the top of the hour, and if you are doing it the old-fashioned way and not partaking in any of the breaking news, et cetera, tweets, whatnot. We won't spoil it for you, but it was, I think, one of the biggest yay moment for the United States overnight. And that's all we'll say about it. So tune in tonight, I guess, on NBC, correct?
Well, a little bit of a tip. It had to do with women's gymnastics and nothing to do with Simone Biles.
No, a teammate. 319-366-1600, and we're going to do this. We're going to go ahead and, Ben, real early, like I told you, we are going to play today's edition of Last Pair Standing, and here is how it works. And both our program, as well as the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn, they will give you out there, the listener, a chance to call in and win a pair of tickets to one of the four grandstand shows that we have tickets for here to give away on the Gym Class and the Todd Brommelkamp Show. Boyz II Men, the Beach Boys, Styx, and the Doobie Brothers. And we have five pair to each of these shows. And they are all still available right now. But as the five go away, the decision becomes tougher. They're all available today. So we're going to put that out there to caller number six at 319-366-1600. 319-366-1600, and you will have your shot to pick up the pair of tickets in Last Pair Standing. So we'll let you know who our winner is, then we'll take a break and come back and talk baseball. RJ Anderson from CBS Sports will join us right after this.
FanDuel Sportsbook is hooking new users up with an epic summer games bonus. Just place your first bet on any summer game sport risk-free. That's right, new users get up to $1,000 back in site credit if your first bet doesn't win. To get you started, here's a possible pick. What about the USA men's basketball team to win gold? But you can bet on any event, baseball, soccer, track and field, and more. Promotions like this are just one reason why FanDuel is America's number one sports book. Their app is easy to use, they're safe and secure, and they feature fast payouts. You get paid in as little as 24 hours when you win. So download the FanDuel Sportsbook app with promo code KUHN and go for the gold today. That's promo code KUHN. Must be 21 plus and present in Iowa. First online real money wager only for risk-free bet. Refund issued as non-withdrawable site credit that expires in 7 days. Restrictions apply. See sportsbook.fanduel.com for details. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-BETS-OFF.
At Menards, save big money on your next project with 11% off everything. We offer a wide selection of durable and easy-to-install flooring from Tarkett. Choose from vinyl plank, sheet vinyl, and laminate. No matter your style, Tarkett has the perfect floor for your home. Get 11% off everything now at Menards. Good through July 31st. Savings are mail-in rebate. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
Save big money at Menards.
We have a winner, Casey from Mount Vernon, and the Beach Boys, their first pair of tickets is off the board, as Casey is going to see the Beach Boys with special guest Hanson on Tuesday, August the 17th, that at the Iowa State Fair. Your next chance to win with Last Pair Standing coming up between 4 and 6 with Todd and Alex this afternoon.
We're in this together, and we will get through this together. The vaccines are tested effective and needed.
Welcome to the clinic. Which arm?
Get your COVID-19 vaccine so we can do this. And this. And this.
We are now boarding flight.
Together again, because we got through it together.
This message, sponsored by the Helmsley Charitable Trust, aired with the Iowa Broadcasters Association and this station.
You've got the green flag for a fun night of racing at Hawkeye Downs tomorrow. Bring your friends and family to see the Midwest Dash Series, four cylinders on the half mile. A special $1,000 to win Legends race, plus three other classes of racing. Adult tickets are just $10. Seniors, youth, and military are $7. And children 8 and under get in free. Gates open at 6 and racing gets underway at 7:30. Be sure to come out tomorrow for an exciting night of racing on the half mile at Hawkeye Downs Speedway.
Tune into the gym every weekday at 5 o'clock with Todd Brommelkamp and Alex Kuhn for Drive Time, driven by Lender Tire.
Back with you in the gym class, RJ Anderson's going to join us coming up here in just a couple of moments as the trade deadline nears as far as Major League Baseball is concerned. Congratulations to Casey from Mount Vernon as he is going to go see the Beach Boys. I gotta get this text out from 9049, Mark, because it brought back memories. 9049, I don't think Ed Horton was the Iowa wrestling team's favorite Hawkeye. And Garza deserves to be drafted.
I think that goes both ways, Scott, from what we've heard.
Yeah. I will say this. That was an epic evening in downtown Iowa City. Back, I believe, in 80. It was either 85 or 86. The statute of limitations, have they ran out as far as that particular night is concerned?
You were not an eyewitness, right?
Oh, I mean, not right ringside, but, you know, within earshot. How's that?
This was worse than Jordan Bohannon recently getting blindsided, right?
Oh, no, this was anything like that. This was not, this was just, okay, we're going to do this, and we're going to do this out here. Let's go. Oh, Ed, the pride of Springfield, Illinois, and Springfield Lamphere. 319-366-1600. Baseball trade deadline is nearing, and lots of storylines coming out, and bigger ones, I think, yet to come. And RJ Anderson from CBS Sports covers Major League Baseball, kind enough to join us here today. And this is like Christmas for some teams, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be an active deadline, I think, and we're here in the last 24 hours, and it's going to be interesting to see how many of these big names move, because if they all move, it's going to be a very memorable deadline.
It is, and the latest, in fact, it's kind of being put together right now, a lot of reports that Max Scherzer to the San Diego Padres is going to happen.
Yeah, and that's a big addition for them if that gets done, but you have to keep in mind that this is a little bit more complicated than your usual trade. Scherzer has 10-5 rights, which basically means he's been in the majors for at least 10 years, and he's spent at least 5 consecutive seasons with his current team. And so he can veto any trade he wants to. He can basically pick his spot. He can request compensation from a team wanting to acquire him. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean a long-term extension or anything like that, but he can get, you know, extra suites on the road or, you know, travel for his family paid for or what have you. So we'll see if it gets done, but it certainly seems to be moving in that direction based on the latest information out there.
RJ, eyebrows raised in among Cub fans when the lineups were announced today. Cubs and Reds playing right now, but Rizzo and Bryant not in the lineup. Reports that the Red Sox are trying to maneuver to bring Rizzo over. Now, what's your evaluation of those two guys possibly being moved?
Yeah, I think there's a pretty good chance that Bryant is on the move. It wouldn't surprise me if he ends up with the Mets or the Rays or, you know, one of these ever teams you've heard connected to him. He's obviously, if he's not the best player available at the deadline, he's in the top two or three. And, you know, I think he is a legitimate franchise player, face of the franchise type because of how he carries himself and his defensive versatility. And obviously he's a middle of the order hitter. So a lot to like there. Rizzo's having a bit of a down year, and, you know, he's in his 30s, probably already had his best years, which doesn't necessarily mean he's, you know, a bum or anything. But if you're looking at one of the two as like the impact or the difference maker down the stretch, it's probably Bryant. So I think he's more likely to move. And I think that whoever gets him is getting a really good player and seemingly a good clubhouse presence.
Yeah, I would agree. And speaking of the Cubs, before we leave them, last time out I don't want to even call it a rebuild or anything like that, but whatever, retooling, they went heavy on the bats. Is that the way you see it again for Chicago, or they go a little bit more pitching this time?
You know, that's a good question. Honestly, I'm guessing they just go with the best players available. You know, sometimes that's a pitcher, sometimes that's a hitter. I know that if you had your druthers and, you know, you have two players who are of equal value, equal evaluations, you might go with a hitter because the risk factor with pitchers. But I don't know if you can necessarily be choosy in what looks like a buyer's market. You know, teams are probably more willing to trade pitchers because of the same reasons you'd be more likely to value hitters. So, excuse me, trade pitchers for the same reasons you'd value hitters over them. So, you know, in an ideal world, yeah, they might prefer hitters. In this world, they might just have to settle for pitchers. But it all depends on, you know, who they're dealing with and, you know, the complexion of their farm system and all that good stuff.
RJ, as a Twins fan, I want to get your perspective on that ball club. The Twins have obviously moved on from Nelson Cruz, Barrios, and Buxton are the two names that pop up most often. I think Barrios probably more noise about him right now. Buxton turning down really a lousy offer that the Twins made, but your evaluation of where the Twins will go.
Yeah, I mean, they're in an interesting position with both of those players because each of them have team control remaining, so they don't necessarily have to move them at this deadline. If they want to use this deadline to gauge interest and then push top into the winter, they can certainly do that. It probably will be the route they go if I had to make a guess on it, just because, you know, sometimes it's hard to get the offer you would like on a player like that at the deadline when there's fewer interested parties, whereas during the off season you can kind of open up the league a little more and you have teams who are trying to jump into contention. So, you know, obviously Buxton is probably, if not the hardest player to pin down value-wise, at least one of the hardest players, because you really have to make a gamble on his durability. And if he stays healthy, talking about one of the best players in the league. Unfortunately, it's hard to really bank on that going forward. So I just have to imagine the offers on him are all over the place, and he might be the perfect off-season trade candidate just because then you can really open up the league, like I said, and you might find someone who values him as, you know, a top five player and really believes in his ability to play 140-plus games a year.
RJ Anderson joining us, 327 here in the Gym Class on a Thursday on KGYM. White Sox with a couple moves earlier today, picking up Hernandez and then picking up the relief pitcher from the Cubs. Are the White Sox done, you believe, or do they have something else up their sleeve?
You know, I assume they're still going to be active. I don't know who exactly they're eyeing. It's been pretty quiet around them. But at the same time, you know, they made two solid deals today. You know, they're not necessarily dealing pieces they're going to miss. However, they were able to get a stand-in second baseman, which you knew they'd been in the market for one since Madrigal, went down with injury, and also a decent relief pitcher in Tapera. And obviously, you know, you have to make the joke about how he earned MVP consideration last year. So, it wouldn't surprise me if they had another bullpen arm. You know, those are always in high demand among contenders, and they're usually in high availability as well because you get to carry so many of them. But, you know, I can't sit here and tell you they're going to swing for the fences and pull Trevor Story out. I think that possibility probably came to an end with the Hernandez trade, but I would be surprised if they don't try to acquire at least another reliever between now and 4 p.m. tomorrow.
RJ, how would you evaluate the Gallo deal to the Yankees?
Well, I think it's a really good deal for the Yankees. You know, they didn't have to touch the tip top of their system, and in return, they got a year and a half of an all-star caliber player. And, you know, Gallo, I know he strikes out a lot. He doesn't have a high batting average, but he has elite power, and he's a very versatile defender for that player class. You know, he's capable of playing first base. He can play center field. He can basically be the Yankees version of Cody Bellinger. And I think that's a great addition to their lineup. I know people are going to be concerned about the strikeouts of all those guys, and it's a fair point, but, you know, sometimes you just have to go out there and get another good hitter. And on the Rangers side, I actually thought they did fine. You know, they didn't get the tip top of that Yankee system, but they did acquire a glut of up system types. Duran isn't compared to Dan Uggla by scouts to me, and you know, you kind of get the idea there. He's a power hitting second baseman, not going to win a gold glove, not going to necessarily impact the game with his batting average, but he can really slug. So, you know, the Rangers are in a deep rebuild, and this trade would seem to set him up to have at least additional depth heading forward. And who knows, maybe Duran does become an all-star like Dan Ugla was.
Mm-hmm. And, of course, and then Marte going to the A's and helping them out in their try to keep up or maybe even pass the Houston Astros. And I thought that was
one of the most interesting trades so far, because you essentially have a challenge trade on your hands. You know, Marte is a very high performer. He can play center field or a corner outfield spot for them. You know, if you look at the production they'd gotten from Stephen Piscotty and Seth Brown, it was below par. So this is a big upgrade for them. They needed to make a move because, you know, unfortunately the Matt Chapman and Matt Olson era is starting to tick down. You know, they're getting further along in their earning stages of their career, and that means Oakland can't keep them for much longer. And then for the Marlins to get Jesus Luzardo, I mean, his stuff is down. You know, he's had a lot of durability issues throughout his career, but if you believe in their ability to coach him up and maybe help him stay healthy, they may have gotten a mid-rotation starter or better for a half-year rental of a guy who they basically got for nothing last deadline. So I think that's a really good and interesting trade for both sides, and it'll be interesting to see what the Marlins can do with Luzardo.
What names or teams that we haven't talked about already would you expect to be in the news in the next 24-plus hours?
You know, I think the Mets have to do something. You know, whether that's Chris Bryant, whether that's Trevor Story, whether it's John Gray, I just fully expect they're going to make some kind of deal between now and tomorrow. I think the Cubs, I know we kind of already touched on them, but I think they're going to move at least Craig Kimbrel and Chris Bryant. Maybe they find a deal with Javier Baez or with Rizzo or, you know, Kyle Hendricks or Zach Davies. You know, I think they're really entering that hard rebuild, and I think this is pretty good opportunity for them to do so. I think Milwaukee Brewers will probably make a move, you know, maybe for an upper pitcher. Maybe they're involved in Kimbrel, for all I know. And then I think also the Boston Red Sox probably do something. You know, it's not in Heimblum's nature to go out there and swing for the fences and, you know, make a blockbuster move where he's buying and sending away all of his prospects. But it wouldn't surprise me if they try to find an upgrade or two, maybe in the rotation or bullpen or maybe even in the outfield and, you know, roll the dice there.
It's interesting, RJ. The team that nobody is looking at, nobody is talking about, and they are still squarely in this thing. Tell you what, you got to tip your hat to the Seattle Mariners, and they are still square in the wild card conversation as far as the American League is concerned. And I don't think anybody thought that was going to be the case at the start of the season.
Yeah, I would agree with that. And they're in a really weird position because, you know, the record is pretty impressive, as you just said. They're right there in the wild card race. You would think that this is a really good team, and then you look at the run differential, and it's pretty bad, and you start to wonder, okay, how much of their performance today is real and sustainable, and how much of it is just, you know, 100 games of baseball or what have you, where, you know, weird things can happen. And, you know, you've already seen them make one move where they sent away Kendall Graveman, who had been really, really good for them to get back Abraham Toro, and he doesn't really have a position to play for them, or at least not his natural position at third base, and the players didn't like it. And unfortunately, I don't really know what they're going to do over the next 24 hours to heal that clubhouse, but you would think they'd do something. But it's just a weird position, and they're kind of caught in the middle where they're trying to buy and sell simultaneously. And I don't know if that ever really works. You know, I can't think of a team that did that and actually had a lot of regular season success the rest of the way, or at least made the postseason. But there's a first time for everything, and who knows, maybe Jerry DePoto has an ace up his sleeve, and, you know, in 24 hours he's going to look like a genius, whereas earlier this week he looked like a goat.
RJ, would you really blame the Cubs for unloading a bunch of players like Kimbrel, like Bryant, maybe Rizzo, among others? I mean, 2 years ago, we kind of understood that the Cubs weren't going to be able to afford everybody.
Well, you know, I have two minds on that. You know, the position they find themselves in now, it makes sense to trade those players because they've kind of painted themselves into a corner. You know, they didn't reach long-term extensions with Bryant or Baez. Obviously, Kimbrel is a different situation because he was a premium free agent addition. So I think you can kind of separate him from the rest of them. But, you know, they just weren't really aggressive or at least weren't successful in trying to lock up that core. And I think that that's unfortunate because we're talking about one of the premier franchises, not only in baseball, but in all of professional sports. And for them to have won the World Series and then just sort of let this core walk at their first opportunity, or to trade them away before they can walk, it's just not at all what I would have expected. You know, it's not good for the sport. I don't think that the Cubs are essentially crying poor rather than signing these homegrown stars to long-term deals. And, you know, I hope that in the future we don't have similar conversations, but I fear that this is where baseball is heading, where, you know, that emotional attachment is going to be severed. And because baseball is such a regional sport, I think that might have negative repercussions for the game long-term. If, you know, children can't lean on their hometown heroes, or, you know, fans can't really get attached to players and they all just operate like the Tampa Bay Rays and some of these ever small market teams. And I don't think that's necessarily a good thing, even if in some circles you would call that smarter or efficient baseball.
Yeah. Last one for me, RJ. Taking a look at the next couple of months of the baseball season, and it can be good teams. It can be middle of the road teams. Is there a team that you think is going to make a run? And do you think there's a team that may be up toward the top that may be falling off before the end of the regular season?
Yeah, I think one of the most interesting teams to me is the New York Mets, because, you know, they're in first place. I do think they're going to add talent over the next 23 and a half hours. But boy, what a weird trip they've taken to get to first place, right? If you had told us back in February that the Mets would have had 18 players on the injured list at one point, that Francisco Lindor and Carlos Carrasco would combine to miss, you know, however much time they've missed at this point, that Noah Syndergaard would have a setback, that, you know, all these other injuries, Jacob DeGrom would leave, what, three or four starts with injuries. You know, you wouldn't think this would be a first-place team, would you? You would have thought, well, they're in fourth place. You know, they're going into another hard winter where they're going to have to try to figure it out. So I'm really curious to see what they do over the rest of the way, because if they can get healthy and stay healthy, the talent there is pennant level. You know, pennant level. Will they do that? History suggests no, because the Mets always seem to have issues with injuries. But, you know, they're probably the most interesting team to me heading into the second half. And I guess if I'm throwing out another team, you know, the New York Yankees are also in that boat. Very interested to see where they can go over the rest of the way, because I don't think any of us had them as a bottom 10 offense at this point in the season back in spring.
Very true. Very true. Well, look, we'll let you get back to it. Thanks for the time, RJ. Really appreciate it. We'll look forward to your tweets and articles as well at CBS Sports. And it's going to be a fun 24 hours or 23 and a half hours, I think.
Who's counting, right?
Yeah.
Thank you for having me, and stay safe, everybody.
All right. You too. RJ Anderson. Give him a follow on Twitter at @r_j_Anderson. Read his stuff at CBS Sports. Does a great job. And, yeah, it sounds like Scherzer is not quite signed, sealed, and delivered yet, Mark, to the Padres. But it is very, very close. It'll be interesting to see what the Padres are going to give up to get him from Washington over to the West Coast.
Yeah, they already have Snell, right? And a pretty good starting rotation. And to add him, that's pretty strong. And you need that when you're in competition with the Giants and the Dodgers. Very interesting.
Yeah, very interesting indeed. We're going to talk some local racing. Justin Webster is going to join us coming up here in just a little bit. And don't forget, Last Pair Standing, another chance for you to win, coming up on the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn. That's coming up between 4 o'clock and 6 o'clock coming up this evening. Want to remind you, before we get to an Eagles Hideaway scoreboard, that the gym is partnered with Fairfax State Savings Bank to bring you KGYM's Community MVP. If your organization has a charity or a fundraising event coming up, we want to help you get the word out. So submit your information at least 60 days prior to the event, and if selected, it'll be featured on the air and online. More information available at kgymradio.com. We got big doings in Iowa City here, Mark. I'm going to throw it to you for an Emil's Hideaway scoreboard update, brought to you by Emil's Hideaway on First Avenue Southeast. It's getting interesting.
It certainly is. Thanks, Scott. And in the 4A quarterfinals, Prairie has scored two runs so far in the top of the seventh inning to West Des Moines Dowling at fours. Bronx Lewis, grandson of former Kirkwood coach John Lewis, singled up the middle just past second base. Two runs scored, evening the count at 4-4. That inning still continuing right now. And Prairie fans hoping that the Hawks can take a lead there. Earlier, Council Bluffs St. Albert won the 1A state championship with a 7-5 win over Lansing Key. Tomorrow in the 3A semifinals, Marion and Xavier will be in action. On the Major League scoreboard right now, two games in the books. Washington in the first game of a doubleheader against Philadelphia defeated the Phillies 3-1. Atlanta topping the New York Mets 6-3. Another final. Tampa Bay has, if you had Tampa Bay in the 13-run pool, you're not very happy. The Rays with a 14-0 victory over the Yankees today. In the eighth inning, sorry, Scott, Kansas City leading the Chicago White Sox 5-0. Cincinnati Reds have taken a 6-3 lead over the Cubs in the seventh inning. In the second game of a doubleheader in the fifth inning, Washington leading Philadelphia 7-3. San Francisco, big series against the Dodgers, leading 3-0 in the fourth inning. And finally, we don't get into academics too much, but great honors for Tia Saunders and Caleb Young of the Iowa Hawkeyes. Saunders, a track and field athlete. Young, a wrestler for the Hawkeyes. Both winning Big Ten postgraduate scholarships. Two athletes from each school win those. $7,500 stipend for each. Great honor.
It is indeed. We got to get out of Kansas City. I don't know what is happening. The Sox are an Eloy Jimenez home run from being swept by the Kansas City Royals. I'm going to have to text Cal, ask him, hey, take it easy for the return.
Too late for that, dude.
Man, there you go. 319-366-1600. We'll take a quick break, come back, talk some local racing. Justin Webster joins us after this.
When you twin together, you have fun together. Come see your Minnesota Twins at Target Field with your family and friends all summer long. Feel the warmth, enjoy the food, and cheer on the Twins, all from under the bright lights.
To swing a line drive into left field and deep. Back it goes! Ball game! What a game today!
Target Field's back to full capacity, so grab your tickets at twinsbaseball.com/tickets and share your experience on Instagram. We'll see you at the game.
My part-time service in the Army National Guard makes it possible for me to be more for the community I call home. My training helps me at work when I lead by example. My service in the Army National Guard allows me to keep my community and those I care about safe from threats. Learn more about how you too can live and serve part-time close to home by visiting NationalGuard.com.
Sponsored by the Iowa Army National Guard, aired by the Iowa Broadcasters Association and this station.
Goodyear believes in the power of moving forward. No matter if it's on the track, the court, or the field, movement makes us want to be more. It pushes us to go further, to show the world what we can do. Movement has the unique ability to change our perspective, to challenge us, to work for a better tomorrow. Movement can even bring us together when we're still. Because if we're focused on the next move, we don't have to worry about what's behind us. Goodyear, more driven.
With you on the gym class here at 342 on KGYM. Thank you very much for joining us. We'll keep one eye on that Prairie Dowling game in the seventh inning and keep you updated on what's happening as far as that is concerned. Our thanks, by the way, to RJ Anderson of CBS Sports for joining us and talking some baseball. Mark, you got a jam-packed show tomorrow too, correct? Uh-oh. Did we lose Mark? Hello? We may have lost him. I'll get him back here. There you are. Mark, you there?
Yes, sir. I'm sorry.
I'm sorry. You must have stepped out to refill your iced tea or whatever. I was just going to say you got a jam-packed show tomorrow, too.
I do indeed. Pat Cobb of the Zach Johnson Foundation Golf Tournament is going to join us at about 3:15 tomorrow, and then we're going to visit with about Iowa State's perspective with Rob Gray of Cyclone Fanatic, Iowa State's perspective on realignment, recruiting, and many other things with Rob.
Yep, fresh from vacation. So I look forward to the podcast of that. And, of course, podcasts are available at kgymradio.com as well as Apple and Spotify. Speaking of the Zach Johnson Foundation outing and golf, he was at the Greater Cedar Rapids Open. Justin Webster to talk racing with us, but we can talk golf as well. As you were out in the sun for 3 days at Hunter's Ridge last week, weren't you?
That, and they sprinkled in some tennis for me. And, you know, if there's a sport with a ball or a tire, they send me. So, yeah, it was pretty hot. And you know what's hot when they remove the official you have to wear pants ruling and let him go to shorts. And they went to that almost certainly early in the week, especially with the volunteers out there. So I know a lot of money was raised. There was a great competition. We had a 5-stroke lead going into the final round. And then a guy sitting in second ran him down. And so lots of drama out there, lots of good business for Hunter's Ridge with another year of great golf. They've been doing that since the late 90s. Now I think we're on the 22nd year. But it was a great showing out there, but it was, yes, very warm.
Mm. Yeah, I'll let you and Scott talk racing here in a bit, but I want to acknowledge the fact that you reported Mark Fiala stepping down as the director of the Iowa Open Tennis Tournament. And Mark, being a former neighbor of mine, I know him well, devoted 40 years is a lot of service to tennis. And it's always among.
And everybody I talked to about Mark Fiala had nothing but great words about him as a human and lots of praise as a director. As you mentioned, 40 years. As he mentioned, he's got Mark. I had a little bit larger article, but we wanted to get it in because he was stepping away and get people to know that. Basically, he's got 7 grandkids. As a lot of people get into their 60s and 70s and start piling up grandkids, at some point you want to be able to still be nimble and run around with them. But Mark did say, and I don't know if we got in the article, he may actually play for the first time in decades in the single 65 older category. And I did check his ID. He is 65 and older, so we don't have him sandbagging on us down there. But
well, he could play like in mixed doubles with Molly. And
right. That'd be great. And, but yeah, we love at the Gazette, and I'm kind of the guy that tends to do it. I call them the fringe sports. We've got our big hitters like Mike and JJ and KJ and all them, but I'm the guy that kind of goes and grabs the fringe sports, the running sports, the racing, the tennises, and the golf. But there's lots of great competition here in Cedar Rapids. If you're an adult and trying to stay active, look into those sports, whether you're a novice or you want to be a beginner. Go play tennis or golf or find something fun to do, because like you mentioned with Mark, there's people that are putting in a lot of work to make these local tournaments very fun and exciting and competitive.
Indeed, indeed. And well, I know you've got an interview to get to very quickly, so we'll get to that.
Oh, you know, we can make NASCAR drivers wait. What, you know, who cares? Whatever.
Yeah.
It's Griffin McGrath. I just got to call them McGrath. They're not important in Cedar Rapids, are they?
I am not saying anything one way or the other,
no,
folks. But yeah, big news starting tonight. 4 straight. I mean, the best thing about the Olympics, as far as auto racing and time being off, you're seeing a lot of racers go race regional short tracks, et cetera, et cetera. Kyle Larson is going to race at PDC coming up this weekend, $50,000 to win. And Brett Moffitt is in our neck of the woods, and he's going to be at Maquoketa tonight and Hawkeye Downs tomorrow night.
And Vinton on Sunday, I just learned.
Yes.
So he'll be bouncing around quite a bit. Obviously, local tracks for us would be Vinton and Hawkeye Downs. So tomorrow, I'll speak with him today and then quickly write up a preview depending on what's been going on in his world. We'll get that into the Gazette for tomorrow, so check that out. And then we'll obviously speak with a different driver tomorrow night and get a feature, as we do every week. We've had some really cool stories recently. Rob Amers, for people, when I mentioned those fringe sports, Rob Amers, if you're in the bowling community, has been there with you for 20-plus years. And he's been all over town, but right now he runs the pro shop in a couple different places, including Cedar Rapids Bowling Center. We did a cool write-up on him. We did the Floyds, who you're probably familiar with. Jacob and JC are the younger ones. Way back in the day, for all of our race fans from the 80s and 90s, we had women's racing, and we had Candy Floyd, who is a long-haired blonde who liked to get out there, and her husband Jeremy were looking for something to do in the early 90s. Decided, let's buy Candy a race car. So that was their weekly thing. And, you know, she mentioned, as a lot of people do, she loved having her kids get into it because you don't have time for drugs and trouble if you're busy with a race car. You just don't have the fun. All your money goes to grease and tires. So great story about some of our more legendary racers from back in the day. And then Rob's still doing it to this day. But as you mentioned, tomorrow night, Hawkeye Downs, I'm very excited. I've been in and out on whether I can go there. But, yeah, we've got tight races, too. I know I was talking to Caleb over in your office. We've got the Legends is down to 9 points, and everybody knows Dave McCullough. He's got a slim lead over Austin Slabaugh. The Hornets are tied with Corey Crispin and Kurt Bonsack. Sports Mods, Patrick Flanagan, has a four-point lead over Johnny Williams, both of those guys from Cedar Rapids, staying local. And then in Hobby Stock, it's just a four-point difference between Richard Nelson and then one of my, just a couple years older than me growing up in Marengo, Jason Sherman. He's got that throwback. I love it. The Days of Thunder car that he had, the mellow yellow, yellow-green combo. And then Sportsman is the biggest one. We've got the Chief Brian Gibson, who everybody loves, trailing by 13 points to Jim Hansen, who's holding on to the lead. But we've got basically everything except for one thing with four weeks of racing left. Everybody's nice and tight there at the top. So four more weeks at Hawkeye Downs, four more weeks at Benton, and a lot of action. They're tied. I won't go through all the categories, but one, you know, everybody's close at Benton as well, including Tony Olson, who's a local guy, has just a two-point lead over Ben Chapman. And obviously Tony Olson, someone you always, if you can beat Tony Olson, you're probably having an incredible season. If you're chasing after him for the points by only 2 points, it's probably been a great year. So, and then also Vinton had some history last year between a couple of, and now there's a race between two local drivers. Jay Schmidt of Tama has just a 5-point lead over Leah Roten. Leah Roten, a great driver for the stock car division on the dirt side, was the first woman to win a season points title last year at, I think she won at Vinton and Independence, and I think she was definitely the first one at Independence, maybe at both. And now she's trying to chase down back-to-back titles. So lots of great racing, competitive racing, and as I mentioned, only 4 weeks left. Although, Hawkeye Downs, you guys are going to throw the Enduro in on the 15th. I know that's coming up. And Then on the 7th, which is a Saturday, Vinton has a $10,000 purse for their Wreck 'em at the Ring, which everybody loves a good demo. So that'll start the demo at 6 p.m. I know racing tomorrow night at 7:30. I don't think we're expecting rain. We almost always have to talk about rain, but I don't think there's any on the horizon, is there?
A chance. The only chance, of course, in the last 2 weeks is it has to come on Friday night. But yeah, it's
right.
But it'll be fine. Yeah, the Midwest Dash will be there. Brett Moffitt's going to be in the regional qualifying Legends race, $1,000 to win tomorrow night. So do yourself a favor sometime. Three of the 4 days, former truck champion and an Iowan is going to be racing in this neck of the woods. So go out and see him.
And I'm glad you mentioned that Midwest Dash. That's the big deal at Hawkeye Downs. So get to Hawkeye Downs tomorrow. Also a big deal and a very big, awesome cause. Vinton does a lot with their drivers, and a lot of their drivers have things that are near and dear to their heart. And they have a couple of drivers who are parents of children with autism. And so this Sunday they're going to have their big racing for autism. So go out there, spend money. I know they do a lot of donations to causes out there. A lot of the money's juiced up so they can get more and more drivers. I'm sure they'll have T-shirts and stuff like that for sale. Koozies and wristbands and fun stuff, and just go out there and spend money, because I know the Drips like to take a lot of that money and they'll pre-commit, hey, we're going to donate at least this amount and maybe a percentage overall. So they're going to do a good thing on Sunday as well. But lots of great racing on the horizon if you're here in Eastern Iowa.
Indeed. And so I was had a chance to get to West Liberty last week. That was neat to see. And among the winners, Johnny Spaugh won.
My favorite racer of all time. The coolest thing that ever happened to me since I've taken over this gig is interviewing Johnny Spaugh last year. And I know a lot of people look up to him. He built basically all the winning race cars in this area still, so as I'm sure you're aware.
Yep. And then Tuesday night, the Mars Series was over in Davenport, and as a prelude to the Prairie Dirt Classic coming up this weekend in Illinois. But it was good to see. Gray had a great race. Hudson O'Neill got the win, and over a great field of guys, including a lot of Iowans.
And I know a lot of people are excited. Jones County Fair had their races last weekend. And a lot of people are excited to see Kane Brown, the big country star, sitting around watching from the stage. I know that excited a lot of people to have him kind of dipping his toe in our sports. So,
always good stuff right there. All right, we'll let you get to Brett Moffitt, and we'll hopefully see you tomorrow, Justin.
Yeah, I got to go fill my sweet tea before I call Brett. You know, I got to stay prepared.
There you go. There you go.
All right, thanks, guys.
Thank you. Justin Webster talks local racing and other things with us every other Thursday right here on KGYM. 3:54, and Mark, great news from Iowa City. Man alive, a crooked number for the Prairie Hawks in the seventh inning.
6-run top of the seventh for Prairie. Right now, one out with a man on for West Des Moines Dowling. Prairie trying to hang on and move to the semifinals.
There you go. And if they do, they will take on Pleasant Valley. Eastern Iowa has done very well in Iowa City. It's an all-Eastern Iowa semifinal field in 3A, as it'll be Xavier and Wallert meeting in an all-MVC semifinal, and then Marion will take on Central DeWitt. Two old WAMAC schools before, of course, the Sabres left to go to the Mississippi Athletic Conference. They will meet tomorrow, and should be very interesting in those games. And I believe it has gone final now. Prairie has won 8-4 as the Prairie Hawks defeat West Des Moines Dowling. So Prairie moves on, and they will go against Pleasant Valley in the semifinals. Hempstead will play tonight in the second game. In Class 4A. 2A right now going on. They are tied at 2 in Carroll. Van Meter and Centerville tied at 2. They are in the fourth inning right now. And as you mentioned earlier on, Counts Bluffs St. Albert defeated Lansing Key.
Imagine John Lewis and Darren and maybe others right in the front row for that one. Bronx Lewis with a big hit to key that 6-run rally for Prairie.
Bronx, Gehrig, and Jeter.
Yes.
You can't tell what team they are fans of, can you?
Which we already knew, but yeah.
Yes, the New York Yankees, the Bronx Bombers out there. So great win for Coach Nelson and the Prairie Hawks as they move on to the semifinals. Tonight, the NBA draft comes your way at 6 o'clock. All of our frequencies right here on KGYM. Should be a very interesting evening. We know the first pick is going to be. That's going to be Cade Cunningham. There is no drama as far as that is concerned. Where will Joe Wieskamp go? Will Luka Garza be taken? Other questions to be answered tonight. You'll talk about that coming up tomorrow, Mark. Pat Cobb will join us. Join you, I should say, unless there's a freak rainstorm tomorrow. And then Rob Gray, I'm interested to hear what Rob has to say about his thoughts about the Big 12.
Yes, indeed. I'll be listening to the draft and watching primetime golf from the Tokyo Olympics.
Yes, let's hope the second round of the Japanese version of the Bob Hope Desert Classic doesn't break out again tonight. My gosh, 63s, 64s all over the place. Sepp Straka. Possible gold medalist, Sepp Straka, leading the way.
That was quite something. The greens over there reportedly just picture perfect, and even you and I could make a couple on those greens, Scott.
Well, yeah. We'll just go with...
The pros made a ton of them.
Though, yeah, they did. They did. When you get perfect greens, not much wind, and perfect conditions, you're going to score, and they scored yesterday, and... Yeah, we'll see what happens tonight over there just outside of Tokyo, and you'll have that and much more coming up on the Friday edition of the Gym Class. Next chance to win with Last Pair Standing coming up with the Todd Brummelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn. They come your way next from 4 o'clock until 6 o'clock, taking you up to coverage of the NBA draft coming up tonight starting at 6 o'clock. All right, Mark, have a good night, and have a good one tomorrow.
Well, indeed. We'll talk to you soon.
You've been listening to the Gym Class right here on KGYM. From Mark and Ben, Scott Unash thanking you, and tune in tomorrow at 3.
Friends, demand for unskilled workers is sky high, but who wants that life? There's demand for hundreds of thousands of IT and cybersecurity professionals in the U.S. My Computer Career is training people.